Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. It's a Target Demo Friday, everybody. So let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, how you're listening. Tweet at me, DA on CBS, or post it on our Facebook page. You'll see the meme of an upset Zach Taylor. Disgruntled. Frustrated. Sad man. I go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDA Show.
I'm on Facebook right now.
This hour we'll do Target Demo Friday and an epic fail coming up later on. Also, Mraz is up the gut NFL picks, trying to stay hot. He was 2-1 last week, and Super Dave was 3-0, which inches Super Dave ever so closer to Mraz. So Mraz has that and his football food of the week. Myles Garrett had his hearing about the incident with Mason Rudolph and claimed Mason Rudolph said a racial slur. Mason Rudolph and his representation denies that vociferously, and the Steelers deny that as well. Now, Freddie Kitchens would not say the conversation that he and Myles Garrett had about the incident, but there are no teammates backing up Myles Garrett about this. None of his teammates are saying, yeah, we heard it too. And none of his teammates are saying that he told us he said that. The first time anybody's heard of this was Myles Garrett in this setting. Now, Garrett said what was said in that hearing was supposed to be confidential. It was supposed to be private. It was not supposed to be made public. But I stand by what I said. So this is a really sensitive issue, especially where we are in this country. Where is it okay to say what to who? Can you slander somebody? Can you libel somebody? Racism that exists a lot of places we never knew it existed or assumed it didn't exist. Now we're seeing it does exist. So this is a really serious allegation. Look, I'm never, unfortunately, surprised when there's video or audio recording or a picture of somebody being racist anymore. Not surprised. It's an unfortunate truth in America. But we have buried race relations and not figured out how to do this the right way for centuries. And we're still not really doing it the right way. So when there's audio recordings, video recordings, old pictures, Hulk Hogan using the N-word, blackface parties, unfortunately, I'm not surprised because I think there's a lot of hidden racism. And this is where minority communities have been saying, hey, you guys don't realize, but it's really racist out here. And people want to say, no, we're post-racial America. So I'm not surprised, unfortunately. And that's not a good thing, but I'm not surprised. And a lot of the racism has come out of the woodwork over the last couple of years where racists have felt more emboldened, empowered, what have you, more enraged, inflamed. So this is a really serious allegation. I have a hard time, though, believing Myles Garrett, because he's claiming something was said on the field that is the absolute worst thing that anybody can say on the football field. And he is claiming that nobody else heard it and he didn't tell anybody else about it. Now, having seen the reaction from the Cleveland Browns, after Myles Garrett smashes his helmet on the head of Mason Rudolph, what happens? Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham come out to the post-game interview with the Thursday night crew and look like somebody ran over their dog. They are sad. They are sullen. It looks like a loss. They look like it's a loss talking about Myles Garrett. Now, they've gone to the locker room and come back out. Remind you, they have gone to the locker room and come back out. Baker Mayfield, after the game, speaking out strongly, strongly against his teammate Myles Garrett. After the game, the Browns in unison speaking out strongly against Myles Garrett. Everybody saying unacceptable, can't happen, ugly moment. Everybody within that organization is saying bad moment for Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett didn't tell anybody in that locker room, his coach, his teammates, his friends. Hey, man. Dude called me a racial slur. I mean, I have to think, if you lose your mind like that, if you lose your mind like that and you are facing what you know could be a season-long suspension, I'd have to think at that moment, and even in the press game, in the post-game press conference, in interview, Myles Garrett takes all the responsibility and does not mention this. I got to think he would mention it to somebody, and that somebody would say, hey, yeah, but you don't know what Mason said. Now, Myles Garrett has handled himself really well in the aftermath, really well, and I applaud him for that. But the next day, 2 days later, that night, none of his teammates know that the worst thing that could be said on the field was said to Myles Garrett. He didn't tell anybody and nobody heard it. It's a tough sell for me. And I wonder if Myles Garrett didn't just end up getting really terrible advice. That his representation went into this appeal hearing, thought it was completely off the record and private, that it would never get out. And his representation said, you know what? Let's try this. Let's try it. Because I got to think, if you're going to throw this Molotov cocktail out there, you'd know that there was somebody to back you up on this. Because that's an enormous one. If you are going to throw this one out there, I would think you would want at least one other person to say, yeah, I heard it too, or yeah, Myles told me that after the game. But he's got nobody? Nobody that can back this up? Now, I don't know Mason Rudolph. Maybe he's a racist. Maybe he would say these types of things. But if I'm Myles Garrett and I'm going to launch this one, I'm going to be damn well sure I got somebody to back me up on it. And I think his representation said, you know what? It's a Hail Mary. Let's try it. Maybe it gets knocked down. And the NFL looked into it. And I'm not saying we can trust the NFL, but the NFL said we can't find any corroboration. His teammates won't corroborate. And nobody will even say that he even told them about this. This is the first they're hearing of it. Seems pretty shaky. Seems pretty shaky. At the end of the day, in this incident, nobody looks good. Myles Garrett looks bad. The Browns look bad. Mason Rudolph looks bad. Everything looks bad. There is no win here. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I think it is time to queue up a little Joey Waller music here, Pete the Body Bilotti, and I'll tell you why. I'm looking at Twitter over the commercial break, and Joey Waller usually tweets out pretty pleasant things, never really all that controversial. Wouldn't you say, Mraz? He's not really a guy that's going to be highly opinionated or in your face.
No, and usually when he is highly opinionated, it is about either sports or teams or subjects you would not care about whatsoever.
That's exactly right. So, I don't know if you saw the story, but yesterday Tim Tebow had posted about the passing of his dog Bronco, which obviously is very sad. And he posts kind of a tribute video to Bronco. And Tim Tebow posts also a picture of him at Bronco's gravesite and says, this is a tribute to my dog Bronco. And it seems like a really nice, thoughtful, beautiful moment between a dog owner and a dog. Now, I've admitted on the show, I'm not a huge pet guy, but you know what? I've turned into a bit of a softie here. My wife is an enormous pet person, enormous, enormous. And she has two wonderful wiener dogs, and she's had many, many beautiful cats. And you know what? I've grown a real affection to her dogs and pets in general.
Yeah, in fact, anytime you criticize a pet or an animal, that's she's texting me almost instantaneously to put you in check.
Yeah, she has rewired my behavior pretty good on this. So Joey has the gall to retweet Tim Tebow's unbelievably emotional outpouring about his dog who died, and Waller says, quote, is nothing private anymore. In other words, that Tebow's looking for attention by posting about his dog that died. Now, Mraz, you've had a dog that recently passed away.
Correct.
I want to ask you, do you think Tebow was posting about his dog dying to get attention? That's kind of like a Myles Garrett accusation. That's a big one.
No. Now, look, a couple things here, because I really could speak to this, because I just recently went through it over a year ago. I think when this happens, losing a dog or losing a pet, I don't mean to get too sad, is way different than losing a loved human being.
It's hard to get too sad with this music.
Right. I'm trying not to laugh, because honestly, when I lost my dog, I found it to be the saddest moment of my life. I really did.
Yeah.
It took me a couple days to really get out of a funk. It was way different than losing a loved one. It's because they don't talk to you to let you know about the pain or whatever. And I think the way to cope through it is you have so many of these great pictures with them, and it's not like you could have these final conversations with them that you want to put them up. And I know it's social media, and I know it's a weird thing right now, but you want to have that tribute to them and look back and be like, hey, this is the day I honored you, buddy. Like, you know, thank you for always being a good pup. So I don't think he was looking for attention. Now, I will say this. It's one thing to put up pictures of you feeding him and petting him. I did find the kneeling at the grave to be a bit much.
Uh-huh.
I did not do that because you have to now make somebody hold a phone, say, hold on, I'm going to get on one knee here.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand in front of the grave. You take a picture from behind. That becomes more of a forced photography moment. It's not like putting pictures of you with the dog while he was alive saying, I loved you, buddy. Here's this. So that was a little weird for me. I will admit, I wouldn't crush him for it because everybody copes with this a different way.
Sure.
But that, I don't know if he was necessarily looking for attention, but I don't think we needed that picture. I am hoping, though, and this is the second part of this, what Joey Waller's tweet is nothing private anymore. Is he taking a shot at Tebow, or is he taking a shot at publications writing, hey, Tim Tebow lost his dog, look at all the social media stuff? Because for nothing private anymore, I would find that to be weird. Like, let Tebow live in his own social media with that. Right. I don't need a New York Post article on that.
Waller is criticizing Tebow posting about the dog.
Okay, well, you know what? That's okay not to be private. You want to let everybody know, look, this is a loved one I lost, and this is my buddy.
Also, to your point, everybody grieves differently.
Yes.
I'm supposed to tell Tim Tebow how to deal with his beloved dog dying?
And I know Waller's own cats, I don't know if they're still alive or past, but what does that mean? Waller just gets out the shovel in the backyard, says sayonara, and that's the end of it? What, are you crazy?
Now, you're saying having somebody hold a camera while you kneel at the dog's gravesite is a little too much.
I want to be as transparent as possible. Again, everybody grieves differently. I would not personally do that. I would stick with the pictures of you in the good times. You kneeling with the gravesite and the cross you made right in front, like, yeah, all right, that's a little much, because now you're turning this into a presentation. Now you're like, hey, guys, look, now I'm at the grave here. It's, I mean, What are we doing at that point? I agree. That's a little much for me. But it's hard for me to crush a dog owner whose dog passed. But if I had to criticize for one, it would be that picture, not necessarily the montage and video.
So is Waller, when he says it's nothing private anymore, if he's talking about Tebow at the dog's gravesite, is that a valid critique from Waller?
It's valid, but ironically, when he says there's nothing private anymore, maybe, Joey, maybe that's one you want to text your friends about, not go public on Twitter with it and look like a total jerk.
Is it possible Waller's the ultimate hypocrite? He's looking for attention by tweeting out his thoughts about Tebow looking for attention.
Well, he wouldn't tweet it if he wasn't looking for some kind of reaction, because this is a whole weird cyclops of everything where nothing becomes private. Waller's thoughts aren't private. Tebow's picture isn't private. There's a whole privacy mess here. And I think there's a privacy act that Waller's probably aggravating.
It's a cyclops of a situation, as Mraz would say.
Yes. It's, you know, whatever you call the swirl, the cyclops.
I don't even know what word you're trying to get to. Cyclone, you mean?
Maybe a cyclone. Cyclone's the tornado thing, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah. All right, lots to get to in this hour number three of the DA Show. When we come back, Mraz has his NFL picks and his football food of the week. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
I have no real will towards Damon and Mandalore.
Joe, I love you.
Damon.
All the love, Damon.
All the love.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday morning football this week. Former wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, Super Bowl champion Drew Pearson, involved in some of the craziest NFL games of all time, is going to join us Sunday morning football, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. I want to take this moment to give Mraz some credit here, because not once but twice in my life, a total stranger has come up to me over the last week and cited Mraz. I was at a sports bar about 8 or 9 days ago, and I was watching, I guess it was the Monday night game last week. Nope, I take that back. It was the Thursday night game last week. So it was the first half of the melee between the Browns and the Steelers. And I wrap up at halftime to go home after I finish my food and my beer. I'm going to the bathroom before I come back out and leave. And a guy stops me and goes, "Hey, DA, right?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Hey, just I want to tell you, I really like your show." I was like, "Oh, man, thanks. I appreciate that." He goes, "Mraz's rant on Pat Shurmur was amazing." I was like, "Oh, yeah, it was a classic." He goes, "No, seriously, that thing was amazing." I was like, "Yeah, it was really good." There was an awkward silence, and I'm like, "All right, I'm going to go." I come out of the bathroom to leave. He stops me again and goes, "That rant was hysterical." I go, "Yeah, I know. I got it. So I leave. On Tuesday, I talked about how I went to go see the Irishman advanced screening. So I'm coming back on the train, subway back, and I live kind of near Barclay Center in that area. So I'm getting off near the Barclay Center stop, and there's a rush of people coming out of Barclays onto the subway. And I'm like, "Wow, there must have been an event, either a Nets game, an Islanders game, maybe a concert." And there's a rush of people just running by me to catch trains. And I'm walking out. In the middle of this rush, a guy goes, "DA." I'm like, "Yeah, what?" Turn around. He goes, "Yo, DA." I'm like, "Yeah, hey. He stops running, comes over to me. He's like, "Hey, man, can we take a selfie?" I go, "Yeah, sure, no problem. Take a selfie." He's like, "Hey, I got to tell you, you guys do really good work." I'm like, "Oh, man, that's really nice of you. Thanks so much." He goes, "Did you come for the Tool concert?" I'm like, no. I'm not. You're okay. This is what's going on here. Yes, I was not at the Tool concert. You were." He goes, "I got to tell you, you know, people think Mraz is an idiot, and his antics are crazy, but he's a good guy. He's a good guy." I go, yeah, I know. Yeah, Mraz is a good guy." He goes, "I mean, people think he's an idiot, but he's a good guy. And that rant was something." I'm like, yeah, I know. So he's like, "All right, man, cool. I'm going to go catch the subway." I was like, "Cool. Awesome. All right, man. See ya." So twice in a week, basically, I had two strangers stop me and have to tell me they loved Mraz's rant. I got to tell you, when you said you were a pop culture phenomenon, this is far ahead of the curve. You were way before it. This was probably 5 years before you actually became one. But now you've called your shot. You've spoken it into reality. And now you actually are a pop culture phenomenon.
Jeez, I think I need to be walking around the city more begging to get recognized so I can take pictures, get my likes up on Instagram. That'd be a big move for me.
I told you to go to the Giants game and call yourself the Pat Shermer rant guy.
Yeah. My ass, my big fat ass should have just been the t-shirt. Be aggressive! Be aggressive!
My ass!
My ass! My fat ass!
Right.
Fat ass!
Speaking of, let's get to Mraz's football food of the week.
Puffiness with football. Mraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
All right, so let's start with his picks. He went 2-1 last week. He's 19-14 on the season. He's 5 games over .500. His beloved Giants take on the Bears at Soldier Field this week, and the Giants are a 6-point underdog. And no, don't tell me you're taking the road Pat Shermers.
Timeout. You know I hate Pat Shermer. You know I hate this Giant team, even though they're my favorite team. This is an anti-Bears pick. I haven't picked the Giants really all year. You can go back and find the tapes.
It's true. It's true.
Six-point favorites the Bears are Sunday? Six?
Yeah.
Look, the Giants are coming off a bye week. If Saquon Barkley really is ever going to be healthy this year, it's going to have to come after he had 1 yard rushing off the Jets, then a bye week. Now's the time to shine. The Bears' defense has completely been lackluster. Daniel Jones gets better every week. 6 weeks left in the season. Daniel Jones needs to average 2.3 touchdown passes a game to break Baker Mayfield's rookie touchdown record. He needs 13 to finish the year.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, but that's kind of the production he's had. I think Daniel Jones is going to make plays in this game, and ultimately, I think it's going to look a lot like most Giant and Bear games have all year. Close, clunky, ugly, and ironically enough, if this comes down to a Bears kick, which it may, do you have any confidence that Eddie Pinheiro makes it?
No.
Look back to last year, Chase Daniel played quarterback for the Bears. When the Bears were good and the Giants still sucked, the Giants won that game in overtime a year ago. Sneaky spot for the Giants to play well. 6 points, way too much. I'm not calling a Giant win, but I am going to take the points here.
Yeah, I got to tell you, they're starting Trubisky. They've already said they're starting Trubisky. So the idea that the Bears can beat anybody by a touchdown, it's a little loose. Packers and Niners in San Francisco, the Sunday night game. The Packers are 3-point underdogs, and you're taking Green Bay on the road.
Look, we listen to Super Dave make his picks, and he'll go all over that Mountain West. I'm not running away from the big games this week, and I want that on the record in this bet. I'm not running away from the big ones.
Yeah, Giants and Bears, a huge one.
Well, the next two picks. Packers are getting 3 in San Francisco. San Francisco's looked real clunky the last 2 weeks, all right? They lose 2 weeks ago, finally. Last week, that final score, if you didn't watch the game, yeah, they won by 10 versus the Cardinals. That game was very much in doubt with about 6 minutes left in
the
game.
Cardinals are the lead for most of it.
And look at the 49ers' schedule the rest of the way. They still have to go at New Orleans, at Seattle. They're playing the Packers here. They only have one layup, and that may not even be a layup right now, and that's the Falcons. It's not crazy to think that the 49ers could lose out, maybe go 1-5 these last 6 games. This is not an easy test for them, a game that was flexed to Sunday night. I'm getting points here with Aaron Rodgers. I think I have to take him, and I'm not convinced the 49ers are a better team than Green Bay anyway. I think Garoppolo, without a good run game, is going to be under duress from that Packer pass rush. I'm going to take Green Bay in the spotlight getting 3. I think they win the game outright.
I can't imagine Fox is happy that this thing got flexed. I mean, because Niners-Packers.
Well, it was better, but the thing is, you couldn't play the game early. They had Patriots-Cowboys, so
I
think this was one of those games they gladly give up because nobody was going to get Packers-49ers unless you had a Sunday ticket anyway.
So originally, this was going to be Packers-Cowboys, Packers-Niners against Cowboys and Patriots.
That would have been divvying up on the Fox bank, but that's why it's only 2 4:25 Eastern games.
And finally, the Cowboys and Patriots game. This one's going to be in New England. The Patriots are a 6.5-point favorite, and here we go. Mraz is trusting Jason Garrett.
This is where you could beat me over the head. I don't want to say
with a salami from the pork store.
Yeah, exactly. Put a salami over the pork store and laugh at me Monday. Look, I don't hide my feelings. I'm a New York Giant fan. I hate the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are going to come up big in a big spot in under Jason Garrett on Sunday. I see the weather forecast. I don't think that favors New England necessarily, although James White will make some plays. Cowboys have a good pass rush that could be great at times. I think they're going to hit Tom Brady, and that's the recipe for the Eagles and Giants in the past beating, the Ravens beating Brady, the Something wrong with the Patriot offense. Brady's admitting it. You're telling me 6 days, 7 days later in a rainstorm, the Patriots are going to figure this out offensively? No, I think we wake up Monday asking, what is wrong with New England? That will be the cold open on Monday. Cowboys go win the game outright and join the Eagles and Giants as teams that beat the Patriots in a big spot. They're getting 6.5, so if the money line scares you, by all means, take the points. It's a lot of points for New England to be laying, but I think the Cowboys are going to go take care of business and win a big game on Sunday.
Perez.
What is your hit all?
19-14 on the season. He's taking the Giants, the Packers, the Cowboys, all on the road and all plus the points. Finally, his football food of the week is going to make the Bourbon Belle very, very happy. This is one of her favorite meals. Football food of the week, a Brunswick stew even.
Look, here's the bit. It's cold now. It got maybe colder than we anticipated in the north and the northeast a little earlier pre-Thanksgiving. Mm. This is going to be a rough week cooking-wise, right? Starting Monday, people start preparing. You start stocking your fridge with stuff. Mm-hmm. So why not just get a nice, warm, comfort food going in a slow cooker on Sunday? You get the pulled pork involved. You get a little Worcestershire sauce involved. Lime beans, some corn, cayenne pepper, hot sauce at the end. Spice it up. And don't sleep on when this is done. By the way, if you go to DA on CBS.com, you go to CBSSportsRadio.com, you click up the gut, you'll see I've actually linked the Food Network. I want to give them credit. Their recipe, because you know you got to trust the Food Network here. So I went back. This is something DA discussed with me months ago. What do you think about it? You like a Brunswick stew? Do you like a Brunswick stew, Moran? Maybe you like a Brunswick stew. I made one a week ago. I don't want to tell anybody I experimented with this recipe.
Oh,
how about that?
Okay.
Kept it low-key. I liked the way it came out. I liked it. And then I also, it's also recommended here, how about a little cornbread instead of the saltine crackers to dip in and eat with that?
Yeah.
You soak that pulled pork Brunswick stew up a little cornbread. You're having yourself a good little Sunday. Driving rainstorm, cold, little sweatpants on, Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, Brunswick stew. Who didn't have a good Sunday? Check it out.
Okay. All right. The full recipe and Mraz's picks and all of the recipes are available online. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com and check out Mraz's Up the Gut Picks and his Football Food of the Week. Up the Gut Picks Football Food of the Week, available at CBSSportsRadio.com. Click on Columnists, because that is where Mraz now resides.
Another climb up the ladder.
Mmm, Brunswick stew. I have to say, I made Mraz's Coca-Cola ribs in the crock pot. They were delicious. The only thing I would add is take his recipe, take them out when you think they're done, throw them in the oven for 20, 30 minutes just to crisp the outside. Gives a little crispy outside, tender in the middle. But I'll tell you, that Coca-Cola sauce that you make with a barbecue sauce and a can of Coke, and then you just let it go in there for about 7 hours, those ribs, whew, that was delicious.
Give me a better day than throwing a Vortex Nerf Nike football around or Nerf football around, come in and have a Coca-Cola barbecue sauce saturated sugars rushing and infusing that meat and just let it slide off the bone so gently. Bink, 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 right into the bone bowl they go.
Bone bowl. When we come back, Target Demo Friday, DA, CBS Sports Radio. That's cool.
Little Drippy 24-7. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's been a brainchild of the one and only Pete the Body Bellotti here on the Wheels of Steel to play a little Earth, Wind, and Fire in our Friday final segment, and I absolutely love it, getting us all ready for the weekend. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Time, as always, for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Joe in Abilene asks, DA, do you think my Cowboys have a chance in Foxborough on Sunday? This one is a big one for us. Yeah, Joe, I think you do. I think you do, because on paper, the Dallas Cowboys have the goods to get this win. Dak Prescott has played really well at times this season, for most of the season, except for their really terrible game against the Saints, then also to open up the Packers. And those are two losses for the Cowboys they've got to own. But seeing Dak in the second half against the Packers and seeing Dak pick apart the Philadelphia Eagles and seeing Dak's stats over the course of the season, he's thrown for more yards than anybody else in the NFL. He's got an offensive line that is far superior to what the Patriots are putting out there. They've got a great running back right now at the height of its powers, and they've got a good pass rush. The Cowboys have what it takes to beat the Patriots. I just don't trust Jason Garrett in a spot like this. I can't remember the last time I said Jason Garrett won a game he wasn't supposed to. And in this game, the Patriots are favored by nearly a touchdown. I don't think the Patriots will win because they're the quote-unquote better roster or even the better team. I think the Patriots would win because Jason Garrett is going to look like a chump compared to Bill Belichick. But do I give the Cowboys a chance? I absolutely give the Cowboys a chance because on paper, they're probably the better football team. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico every morning. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too. Get it all. Geico.com. Time for Target Demo Friday.
It's a 3-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
Edward on Facebook's on the radio.com app in Cleveland, driving gas tanker, getting that long money.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A. What is it all?
Making huge strawberry pancakes after work and getting ready to deep fry a 24-pound turkey next week. Oh, yeah.
Hey!
Nathan's on Facebook. Listening to the best show on radio in frigid Wisconsin on the radio.com app. Getting ready for gun deer season, which starts tomorrow. Time to fill the freezer with some timber cattle. I'll drop dead without those venison burritos.
I'll drop dead. I will drop dead without those burritos.
Jason, ADA. I'm in San Diego listening on watchda.com. Headed to Vegas later today and planning on letting it ride with a 3-game parlay on Mraz's up the gut picks. Wish me luck.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
Barbara's in Columbia, South Carolina. Sirius XM, channel 206. She's at work. Thank you, Barbs. Appreciate it.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
I'm at Columbia.
Steve is listening in East Tennessee via 640 AM in his work van.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Matthew's in Metro Atlanta listening to the podcast because I work at night and there's nothing better to do than ride with the mothership. John's in Erie, PA, radio.com. Just another weekend to work. Try and catch some football. Shout out to the Erie Seawolves / Pepperoni Balls. As you know them, Erie's AA baseball team. They're on the chopping block.
You are a machine of death.
We can't let them go down without a fight. Ed is in Harrisburg, PA, CBS Sports app. I'm about to get chicken nuggets for lunch because, as we all know, chicken nuggets can never be a dinner meal. # you need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Thank you, Ed, for providing some context, clarity, and sensibility, to the proceedings. Chicken nuggets, great lunch, cannot be your dinner. Unless you're 6. Jake, Facebook, permission to board the mothership. Out here in Tulsa, listening on 1300 The Buzz. Thanks for getting me through the work week, or through the work morning. No work, no kids. Going to be a good weekend. Brandon, what up, D.A.? Mraz, Pete the Body, can I get a beamer? I'm in Tacoma, getting ready to spend a quiet date night with my wife and watch my Georgia Bulldogs while getting Air Jordans on Saturday morning. # like a boss.
Oh, okay.
Now that's outrageous.
Elizabeth is in Narragansett, Rhode Island, listening via Alexa, thinking about Thanksgiving and all the cooking ahead, wondering anything I should add to the usual spread. This may be a question better suited for Mraz. By the way, Brunswick stew is a gift from God.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
She's right, by the way. That's a smart lady right there. I trust her. Trevor in Bomb City on Twitter. Ship it away again to the office in Amarillo, Texas, listening via WatchDA. Fun fact, at 70%, Eddie Pinheiro has the lower field goal percentage than Cody Parkey finished with his one season in Chicago. Even Matt Nagy's one obsession is misplaced.
Oh, okay.
Steve, did Mraz say Cyclops? He once again broadens my understanding of the proper use of the English language. # spaceship classroom.
I'll drop dead. I will drop dead without those burritos. Polar bears have tails, I think.
George, Listening while fixing furnaces in Wisconsin. We'll be catching up on past shows I've missed tomorrow while my deer stand waiting for the 30-pointer. You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Puffiness with sodium.
Now they go run rough shot.
Hemsky in L.A. is listening on radio.com for beautiful Los Angeles. Today is all really about Lewis and Palmdale. Hope the transplant goes smoothly. One of the good guys is going to win today. Going to go celebrate with some of his friends with a BBQ.
That's very good, Damon.
Awesome. Good for you guys. Grant is jamming the mothership on radio.com in the big rig. Thanks for always getting me through the long days.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Rob, the 321, still in the Bahamas till Sunday, watching at watchda.com, wishing Lewis and Palmdale a steady recovery during his miracle from his kidney surgery as he gets a new lease on life. Hashtag, you deserve it, Lewis. You deserve it.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
AZ is listening on Sirius 206 today. Spending the weekend in Madison for my daughter's swim meet, so I'm making my famous chicken parm tonight. Hashtag, take your mark. Beam me up.
I'm doing great.
Dimitri, listening on the CBS Sports app while making my deliveries for work. Can't wait for the weekend, my son's 8th birthday. Some food, some cake, some barbecue, and football. Great weekend here in Abilene, Texas. DA show, get me through my day. Hashtag, I need a can of jam.
There's a lot of that.
Joe in Carolina, listening on the Sirius app while working on a highway widening job in South Carolina. Hashtag, get me out.
Oh, okay.
Knock at your door with a can of jam.
Get him out.
Manny is listening on the CBS Sports Radio app here in Hartford, Connecticut, nursing a cold and hating on baseball for wanting to eliminate minor league teams. Shame on you, MLB.
You are a machine of
cheese balls.
Jonathan tweets, there's nothing better than hearing that vortex whistling through the streets. Oh, man, the memories. I remember holding a short ceremony when the tail ripped off and we went back to playing. Hashtag, everyone can throw like Brett Favre.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. We had NFL Hall of Famer James Lofton here on the show. And what do we talk about with Pro Football Hall of Famers? Whether they're wearing long underwear.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Good morning. Can I tell you what is the biggest concern for announcers as we start to broadcast games in November and December?
Yes, absolutely.
The weather.
Okay.
So I have to go down on the field. Well, I like to go down on the field.
Yeah.
Pre-game.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to dress like, you know, I'm the guy from Florida coming up to watch it.
We've been talking about a naked person.
And because they look at you, go, you played in Green Bay and Buffalo. It's not cold. And I said, yes, it is cold.
There is a North Pole.
There is a North Pole.
Yes.
It's a little different now, right? Because you're used to the warm weather.
Well, yeah, I do live in California, but I make sure that I carry my long underwear.
An anti-chafing ball deodorant.
Oh, really?
And I'll just go down to my blazer, and I figure I can tough it out for about 15 minutes. But as soon as my lips start to get a little purple, I head back upstairs.
Hey, boys.
So this is a great secret to James Lofton's broadcasting success. Do you call games in your long underwear?
You bet I do.
That's fantastic.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
More Target Demo Friday tweets. Lonnie, happy Friday. I'm at work in Arizona listening on radio.com. The mothership is awesome. Love the show. Thanks for all the hard work you guys do. Well, Mraz, maybe not so much hard work. Mraz will be doing hard work on Tuesday, really Monday night into Tuesday, when he is bringing in the Taco Bell bisque.
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you're making tacos, I love you.
Taco Bell has placed a recipe on its website for the holidays asking you to purchase a 6-pack of chicken roll tacos, melt it down, put it in a blender, make it into a soup, add whipping cream, and then dip hard tacos into it. Mraz is going to make this on Monday night, bring it in Tuesday morning, and we will have a DA show Thanksgiving with Taco Bell bisque, which we have nicknamed Belle Bisque DeVoe.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
We're making tacos. We're making bisque. We're making tacos and bisque. Jimmy Johnson would love us.
Tacos?
Should smell great for all those commuters on a Long Island Railroad on Tuesday morning.
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you're making tacos, I love you.
Brady tweets, can I get a beam up? I'm listening on radio.com in Starkville, Mississippi, while I finish up a work week and getting ready for the fat man's holiday. Nice.
Chubbo.
So now Thanksgiving is the fat man's holiday. Nice. Is that also Christmas? Considering you got a fat man coming down chimneys? With a fat Easter bunny? Easter bunny now? Fat man's holiday too? A whole bunch of fat everything?
Chubbo.
All right. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com on the simulcast. Thanks to Brad Heller on your headlines. I'll see you for Sunday morning football, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 Pacific. Drew Pearson is my guest. We'll see you then. The mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.